It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and this week our topic has been one of my favorites, the Seven Feasts of Israel. Seven special Sabbath days, special feast days that God gave to the children of Israel, and he required them to celebrate those days every year. You see, he was giving them the very day that Christ would die, the very day he would rise again, and I believe he's giving them even the day he will return. They're found in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Now, so far we've covered the first three holidays that Jesus Christ fulfilled exactly on the very days that God gave them to celebrate each year. Now, as the high priest was sacrificing the lamb on the 14th day of the month of Aviv, a lamb for the sins of Israel, just before the Passover celebration, Jesus, Yeshua, God's spotless lamb, was dying on the cross. As the Jews were celebrating the second feast the next day on the 15th day, it was the day of unleavened bread, and the Jews were all eating unleavened bread as Jesus was in the grave, the spotless Lamb of God with no leaven in him, atoning for our sins, so that God could see us without leaven or without sin. Then at twilight, on the first day of the week, the Jews celebrated the feast called First Fruits. And God sent an angel to roll away the stone, and Jesus came out of the grave on the very day that the Jews had celebrated for hundreds of years. You see, friend, God did not want them to miss the Messiah, so he gave them seven snapshots in these special feast days that the Jews call high holy days or special Sabbaths. Now today I'm going to try to finish up as we come to the fourth feast found in Leviticus 23. Among the seven feasts of Israel, three of them were mandatory for all the Jewish males to come to Jerusalem and celebrate. Passover was the first one, and the second one was this fourth feast that we call Pentecost, and the Jews refer it to it as the Feast of Weeks. Now, it's called the Feast of Weeks because it didn't have an exact day of the year, like Passover was the 14th day, unleavened bread was the 15th day of Aviv. But this one, you calculated by counting off from the Sabbath after Passover, on the week of Passover, seven full weeks, or 49 days, and then the next day, which would be the first day of the week, or Sunday, on the 50th day, that Sunday would be Pentecost, which means 50th day. Now, 50 is a special number with God. Every 50 years was a year of jubilee that brought freedom and deliverance to the people from bondage. So this feast was going to say something special to the children of Israel. Now, in Leviticus 23, verse 16, here's where it's found. God says, "You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord." Now, this feast centered around a harvest time, like many of the Jewish feasts. But it was the wheat harvest or grain harvest. What's so special about that? It's because God refers to his church and his children as wheat. He says that, pray that the Lord of harvest would send workers into the harvest fields because its fields are white unto harvest. The Bible tells us that one day the Lord of the harvest is going to separate the wheat from the tares. The wheat are God's righteous children. Now, if we ask most Jews today what is special about the day of Pentecost or this festival of weeks, they'll tell you that this was the day when God gave the law, the Torah, to Moses. And most people, when they think of the law, they think of the Ten Commandments. But really, friend, those were just the top ten. The law was a system of relating to God based on 613 commandments that God gave to Moses. Now, how perfect did they have to be? Jesus said it like this. He said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." That's quite a standard, friend. We don't live up to that in our flesh. That's why we need the new covenant that God brought by sending his Son to die on a cross. See, Paul said this in Galatians 2:21. He said, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." How interesting that on the same day God gave the law to Moses, this fourth feast would find its fulfillment in the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and God would give birth to His church. You see, friend, the church was born on the day of Pentecost. That was the day when the Holy Spirit fell upon those men and women in the upper room. And that's the day when Peter preached and thousands were added to the church on a single day. Acts chapter 2 tells us when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one mind and one accord. And the Holy Spirit came and baptized them all with cloven tongues of fire. Now notice, this feast was fulfilled again like the first three, exactly to the day. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now I have a question for you today. If God fulfilled the first four feasts exactly to the day in Christ's first coming and in the sending of the Holy Spirit, which was the church age, the church that would be born and represent that time period from Christ's first coming to His second coming, why wouldn't the last three feasts be fulfilled exactly to the day? Oh, I believe they will, my friend. I believe when Jesus comes, He will fulfill the next feast, which is called the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. He's coming at the sounding of the last trumpet. Now, in the remaining time today, let me touch on these last three feasts, because I believe these three will be fulfilled exactly to the day when Christ returns in His second coming, which I believe is soon and very soon. The next feast is found in Leviticus chapter 23. It begins with verse 23, and this is what it says. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." You see, friend, this feast is called the Feast of Trumpets, but most Jews today call it Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. I found it interesting that Rosh Hashanah falls on the first day of the seventh month. Seven is God's number of completion or perfection, and I believe this feast represents the completion of this world before Christ returns and comes back to judge the living and the dead. Notice the day is differentiated from all the rest as a day commemorated with trumpet blasts. Now the trumpet that's used in Israel is called a shofar or a ram's horn. Perhaps you've seen these. For years, God commanded the children of Israel to call its people together with the blowing of a shofar. And along with the shofar, in Numbers chapter 10, God commanded Moses to make two other special trumpets hammered out with silver. Now, there's several reasons the Israelites were to sound the trumpet. First, God told them in Numbers to assemble the whole congregation together. When you hear the trumpet sound, have the whole community of Israel gather at the tent of meeting. Also, the shofars were used, or the blowing of the horn, to when they would set out to a new destination, they would sound the trumpets. Also, they were used at times of rejoicing during these special appointed feasts, and the trumpets were also used, get this, to announce the arrival of the king and when a battle was about to begin. My friend, there's coming a day when God's going to have the trumpet sound at the returning of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. My friend, when Jesus comes and His second coming, I believe with all of my heart, it's going to fulfill this feast called the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. It happens in the fall of the year, around sometime in September. It changes every year because our calendar is different. You say, well, Pastor Keith, doesn't the Bible tell us no man knows the day or the hour? Of course it does, because we don't know when Jesus is coming, what year it will take place. But I believe with all of my heart, if He fulfilled the first three feasts exactly to the day in His first coming, if He fulfilled the fourth feast with the sending of the Holy Spirit, Don't you think he's going to come back on these last three feasts and fulfill them exactly to the day? In the seventh month, the month of completion, God is going to send Jesus at the sounding of the last trumpet. I'm ready. I don't know about you, friend, but I believe he's coming soon. Next, the sixth feast is called Yom Kippur. It's the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. And the command to celebrate this day is found again in Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 26. The Lord said to Moses, "The tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God." Now, the fulfillment of this feast is prophesied in the Bible. It's going to take place after Christ returns for his church. He fights the battle of Armageddon in Israel, and then it's the day when he pours out his grace upon Israel, fulfilling his promise to Abraham. And this is the day Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 11 and verse 26, when he said, "And in this way all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from Jacob." Now, not every Jew who ever lived will be saved on that day, but all those who look on him on that day will receive salvation. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's found in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Let me read it to you. "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication." You can't be saved without grace. "They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be as great as the weeping of Hadad Ramon in the plain of Megiddo." That's where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. See, friend, God will fulfill this feast of Yom Kippur exactly on the day, and that will be the day when he removes sin from Israel. Now, there's one final feast that we have in the Bible, and it's called the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a joyous celebration for the children of Israel. For this feast, we look again at Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 33. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there will be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it.'" See, friend, this feast day is called Sukkot in Hebrew. And it's the Feast of Booths, where children of Israel, they live in booths and little huts in their homes outside in the yards. And it's a very special celebration. You say, "Keith, what is this feast all about? What's going to happen on this day?" Well, I believe this feast speaks of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, where he will tabernacle with us. You know, the Bible teaches us that God made the earth in 6 days and all of his creation, and then he rested on the seventh day. How appropriate that this seventh day speaks about the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, when after 6,000 years of history of mankind, then the 7,000th year, this 1,000 years will be the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, where he will rule and reign on this earth. That will be the time where the Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb. I find it interesting that Peter wrote, "With the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." You know, from the time of Adam till the time of Noah, it was approximately 2,000 years, or 2 days, according to Peter. From the time of Noah and until the time where the flood was poured out and wrath of God was poured out, from the time of Noah until the time of Yeshua Jesus when he died on the cross was approximately 2,000 years, or 2 days. And once again, God's wrath was poured out, but this time upon his son. And then from the time of Jesus until the day in which we live today, it has been approximately 2,000 years. And it's about time for the wrath of God to be poured out again. But this time, friend, we have a Savior, because God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to be sharing a very special message, What's So Bad About Good Friday? Walk in grace. He loves you, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.